in a world of mindless movie cliches. One podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
Hello and welcome. How are you, Chris? How's everything?
All right. That was some mighty fine guitar playing you had going there.
That was from Larry Saltis, I believe. This episode, we are going to be reviewing the controversial, the short-lived, the hated by very many, unfortunately for me, the New Monkees. From 1987, although I recall it being 1986, but according to the Masters of Media, the Internet Movie Database, it's 1987.
So, were you a fan of the original Monkees?
No, I was.
I want to put some context around this.
Well, at this time, there was a little bit of fire put on under the Monkees. The shows were being played again. I don't know whether it was VH1 or Nickelodeon or whoever. And everybody was like, Monkees. And I just didn't like them. I found them to be kind of a weaker version of the Beatles. And I was a big Beatles fan at the time. And also a very big heavy metal fan, actually. Oh, I was listening to a lot of Motley Crue. I think at that time, Metallica and Slayer and, you know, hard music. And I played guitar. So I'm going to give you my story about the New Monkees, if you don't mind. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I started playing guitar when I was like 10 or 11 years old. A little early, but... And I took lessons like every week, and, you know, I was learning music theory. I was learning the proper way, and I understood the basic fundamentals of music, but I was a very frustrated player at the age of around, you know, between 12 and 13, where I couldn't play the music I wanted to play. I just didn't have the flexibility or the dexterity or... I had the rhythm, but not really just, I didn't have the, I guess, what guitarists would call the chops to perform and play the kind of music that I really wanted to play. And probably around 13, I guess puberty was getting in and, you know, emotion. So I decided to literally give up the guitar to just focus on other things. I think I was like into like BMX bike racing, and I used to race like 12-speed bikes, like not heavy competitions, but like small competitions. And these were the kind of things I used to focus on. I was never really much of an athletic person, but those are the kind of athletic things that I would do. And that's what I would focus on. You know, it's like, all right, I'm going to give up music. I'm just going to be a fan, and that's that. And then the show kind of came on. Like, I remember flipping through the TV guide like we did when we were kids. And I remember seeing it, and it's like, the New Monkees are coming Saturday morning, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I set the old trusty VCR, didn't really think about it. And I remember watching it on Sunday. And I'm not going to say I was blown away, but the show hit me at a point where... I don't know. It was about these four guys, and they were just playing music. And it was humorous. It wasn't hilarious, but it was humorous. And I kind of liked the music. It was not at all the kind of music I would listen to at the time. But to me, it was better than the Monkees stuff. I still think it's better than... I'm not a fan of the Monkees, if I need to repeat that again. And so I decided what I wanted to do is learn how to play these songs that these guys were, you know, putting on this silly show. So I don't know. I was learning it and blah, blah, blah. I was teaching myself these songs. And the next thing I knew, I was playing again. And I was getting back to my roots of music. And I guess I have to give credit to the New Monkees for, I guess, opening my eyes up to the fact that I saw a lot of growth, but I was ready to teach myself how to play songs by listening to them instead of paying so much attention to the technical aspect of a lot of the music that I was listening to. I could just sit down and play a song and enjoy it. And that's what I got from them. They're very simple songs. They're very easy to learn. And
they are that, yes.
And they taught me a lot about songwriting and, you know, just how you can simply have a few chords and really not worry so much about chops, I guess. You know, it doesn't have to be this incredible guitar solo. It doesn't have to have such a technical aspect. And then, of course, they outgrew them very quickly, but they always kept a very special spot in my collection of music. I bought the cassette, and to this day, I regret not buying it on vinyl. It was like right in front of me. I could get the vinyl or the tape. So I picked the tape, and that's it. You know, and it's a little corny, but I unapologetically, you know, enjoy listening to the New Monkees music still.
So these guys are actual musicians. I mean, I was wondering if they were playing. You know, when you watch, you know, I watched a few episodes actually by mistake, but we didn't know which episode we were doing. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And you know, they like Larry never looks like he's. You know, I know it's all lip syncing and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. They more than likely aren't playing when you're watching them.
No, I understand, but I mean, it looked like he. Nobody was faking it well either, you know? So I was like, oh, like the original Monkees, I guess these guys don't know how to play either.
Well, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that the Monkees were, maybe some of them knew how to play instruments, but for the most part, they couldn't. I'm not 100% sure about that.
I think you're right. I do think you're right. I think they started out as not being musicians, but somewhere along the way, they got a little better.
Right. They got the three chords in a dream.
But you know what? They could sing. I like the Monkees stuff. I have the Monkees' greatest hits. I like a lot of
it. I wouldn't come down on you for that either. I don't. It's just not something that I that ever really made it to my collection. Personally, right. I know Daydream Believer. That's last Train to Clarksville, maybe. And that's not to say, you know, oh, I hate them or something. I don't. I just, there's a lot of bands I don't listen to. You know, a lot of big, very famous bands that people love that I just don't listen to. And the Monkees just happens to be one of them. The Doors, too, I don't like. So I'm crazy with my opinions. I mean,
the Doors had maybe one good album. That's about it.
I just don't know anything about their catalog. And the Monkees either. I don't know anything about them, to be honest with you.
The thing I remember about the original Monkees is that even before the singing, is that they were funny and they had this really silly, cartoony show that you know, they just threw everything in, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But the guys really clicked well together, you know, and some of the guys actually had personalities, like Mickey and Davey.
See, I don't know. I just found that the show was very childish. And granted, like, I was a child. But there was something about it that I just couldn't tolerate. I just couldn't get through it. And then, you know, you look at the New Monkees and there's very little to tolerate, you know, too. There's... It's a very, very difficult show to introduce to somebody and have them actually take seriously, even for those 20 minutes. You know, for instance. I think you watch it probably rolling your eyes half the time.
No. Now, wait. Now,
I'm waiting. I'm here.
I don't know how, you know, you had something labeled pilot, and I watched that, and then it was the wrong pilot or something, and then you directed me to the actual pilot.
You watched an unaired pilot, actually.
I watched the unaired pilot. So, and some items that were in that unaired pilot that I liked actually show up here.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they're trying for the, and I think this is a credible idea that you try to redo that kind of very silly, anarchic, anything goes type of comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
with a musical band. Now, well, I mean, we'll get into it, but whether or not these guys carry it off, we'll get.
No, it's all debatable. So what do we have in this show? We have four guys who live in a mansion with a butler and a waitress.
This show has the most. It has a very laborious setup. I thought.
Yeah, it's a very.
Whereas the monkeys, the original monkeys, it was just that. It was just the four monkeys and whatever happens to them in the day.
Well, they lived together, right? Didn't they always live in the same place?
They did live.
And they had the monkeys GTO.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the monkey mobile.
I like that. But this has, like I say, it's they just throw too much in here. Like, so it has discombobulated. But it has a pair of lips on a TV screen.
Yeah, it's like a half of lips that are flipped upside down, that are mirrored,
that oversee this entire house. And so the whole lips thing, where we just see the lips talking to us, you know, my immediate thought was
cheap effect.
That's from The Warriors with the DJ lady.
Yes.
But then I remembered, oh, you know what? They did that in Cyborg 2 when it was just Jack Palance's voice coming out of a screen as he chased after, what was her name? The lady married to Brad Pitt.
I don't know. I don't remember Cyborg. I don't remember that from that. I've seen it.
Oh, I can't. I'm blanking on her name. Anyway, but I just don't know why they needed that. But let's let Lips herself set up everything and introduce us to the guys.
All right, here we go.
And that's our first.
Hi. How you doing? Good. Want to meet the new monkeys? First, let me show you what they looked like a year ago.
Jared's screen test. Take one.
Man, I like your hairdo.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's hot.
You know, my car got hit twice in 6 days.
Yeah, Detroit's a rough town.
You're laughing because it never happened to you. And it got hit twice in 6 days, and the second time it got hit, the kid tried to take off. So I said, you know, we caught the kid, and I said, you give me $1,100, and I'll forget about the whole thing. He gave me $1,100, and then next thing, this new monkeys thing's come out, and I had to pay to get over there. Now I ain't got no money to fix my car.
Did all your friends think you were crazy when you wanted to come and try out the new monkeys?
Did they think I was crazy?
Yeah.
They thought I was crazy to pay that much. They thought I could have got over cheaper, you know?
What's the fondest memory you have in the last 5 or 6 years?
Fondest memory is this, will be this whole experience, because the whole experience was a surprise, as I said before. Coming home from work, and mother and father have two tickets on the table
to go to New York.
How were the New York auditions?
New York was, it was great. I'd never been to a big city in my life, and it was chaos, but it was fun at the same time. My mother had to go along, you know, and seeing as how I was only 18, she said, you know, I'm going to go with you no matter what.
But I'm going to follow you now, sitting inside. I'm going to have you go now, aren't I? Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks.
Thank you, Jared.
Oh, it's over?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure. I was going to break out the chainsaw and cut the couch in half.
And marker and Jared.
And basically, they play that little clip. It does continue if you want me to continue playing it.
Well, I do. We do want to play the music for our listeners, but we'll get to that later.
But I think she continues talking and about the show, but
we already see, like, they're trying to do, you know, who was that? That was Marty, who we listened to him speak backwards.
Yeah, in reverse, and, where he's trying to be the real, you know, that's a total monkeys thing, I'm assuming, right?
Right. So by that, I mean they're trying anything for a laugh. And
that happens a lot. There's a lot of that type of, like, you know, definitely trying to do things for a laugh, only for a laugh. So
Larry is the guitarist. Dino is the comedian drummer.
Well, you know what's funny is Dino, I'm going to see, he's from New York. I'm not 100% sure where he's from.
He was from New York, but he's not. He's from, I think it was Michigan.
But, you know, he comes from, he had a public access TV show, and that's kind of how they found out about him.
Really?
And I'd really like to find those things. He has, he actually has a channel on YouTube, I believe Decay 1966 is their channel name. And he puts up a lot of New Monkeys, like behind the scenes type of stuff.
Oh, really?
But he also, I think, has a few things from his own, you know, before the New Monkeys or something like that. He's involved with the people who still like them. And the same thing with Marty. Marty is very involved, actually.
Marty is the bassist.
Yeah.
Here's another way we can describe these folks. I just want to, Marty wrote the screenplay for Dangerously Close, and fans of psychotronic films will know what that is. He also wrote for the soap opera The Edge of Night, which is really...
Did you really? I didn't know that.
That's really funny. So another way that we can differentiate these guys is Larry has mullet galore.
Yeah, he's definitely in like blonde highlights.
And blonde highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Dino has a I don't know, it's kind of like a punk.
It's like a bouffant.
It's a punk boof.
Like a 50s greaser.
Yeah, thing. It's like double time.
Yeah.
And he talks like he's from New York.
Or yeah, he talks kind of like this.
It's like a Lords of Flatbush or something.
Yeah.
And Jared is the most normal looking of the bunch.
Which is weird because he tries to be the surfer, but he's got like the 50s hairdo too.
He is not a surfer dude. And Marty's got the long hair, but it looks like he's thinning on top.
And but he's still got a full head of hair to this day, is weird.
I think before Marty was going to be the one who lost his hair first.
God bless
him. It actually turned out to be Dino.
Or at least we think, because he shaved his head. Now, Marty, and when it comes down to the whole thing, I guess he would have been like an 80s mod guy. I'm not really sure. What category would you have placed him in, music-wise?
Oy. In the 80s? I don't know.
Because he was also in the band The Wigs, which is kind of a...
Which is an actual band, or...?
Which is an actual band, yeah. And they were in the movie The Chauffeur.
My Chauffeur.
I keep saying Chauffeur. I don't know why. They were in there for a short period, and I don't know. I always thought he kind of fell into more of it... the mod or the alternative thing that was going on in the mid 80s.
This is 1987 now, so I don't know. I have no idea like who was out at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nothing. The music was pretty bad at this, you know, in 87.
Right. I mean, the music here is like really...
It's very poppy, and it's intentionally poppy.
Very 80s, like... Mm-hmm. Like
synth pop. It's
synth pop, very overproduced.
Very, yeah, and very formulaic. It's
like proto, I would say proto, like New Kids on the Block.
I wouldn't say that bad. I mean, it's not so drum machine-y. It's not so synth pop. Whatever, it is what it is. This is a guitar solo, so you can't immediately say it's the New Kids on the Block.
So that's introducing the band. So let's let Lips introduce the other two components of this show.
All right. And I think it's just the continuation of that same clip. So here we go.
Right, but there's a song in there, so you have to... Go to 346.
I think that it goes right to it, so hold on.
I don't know how I feel about her. Is it love or only the night? Am I doing this right?
Larry got it.
Yeah, you're right. I have to find that clip.
When we hold each other,
we'll just let it play out.
Well, what do you think? You like the guys? They're pretty cool. You might say they're personal friends of mine. I'm Helen, and I run this place. It's just me and the boys.
And that was the end of the clip. Was there more to that?
No, there's no one, because she's going to introduce the butler and the house.
So maybe this is it. I'm going to... Oh, here we go.
Yeah, just keep going.
Oh, yeah. And there's this old dude, the butler. At least that's what he calls himself. I call him a...
Hello. I'm Manfred, and I run this house. And let me tell you, it's no easy task. It's a large house.
Did you want me to continue?
No, I guess not. I guess
I don't know. I don't know what else is in that clip.
A very, very large house. An incredibly big, large, massive, confusing house. Filled with endless hallways. Countless rooms. And many bizarre occupants. Bizarre. Most homes have a kitchen. Ours has a diner. Thank you.
Now, it's occurring to me that how difficult of a show this must have been for you to watch. Because, you know, like I said, I have a certain, emotional attachment to it. So I'm going to like it no matter what. But, you know, looking, you know, just listening to that, and I'm like, oh, geez. It's, you know, what it's like watching is an Action Max video game videotape, if you recall. It, you know, it's very dragged out. And I think with this particular episode, it is very dragged out.
Yeah, you don't need all of this. You don't need a house that has, it goes on.
Unlimited rooms. I mean, it's an ongoing gag for every episode.
So the unaired pilot, though,
mm-hmm.
was much better in terms of not only setting up the boys,
mm-hmm.
but then going into a story per se that threw in all of the comedy. I think that unaired pilot was actually better than this one.
Well, do you want me to play any of that? I mean, if you want me to, I can just
talked about, like, they were finding the monkeys, and so there were just funny jokes about the search for the monkeys, mm-hmm. and lots of screen test footage.
Yeah, I'll play some of it. I'm going to look for your little clip list here. So I think you're absolutely right.
You know, they had actors portraying Don King. They had just much more psych gags earlier instead of this laborious setup.
It is, and it is very slow. The entire episode is very slow.
Yeah, and once we get to, like, the meat of the episode, it's. I know this is supposed to be a silly show, but the plot here is kind of dumb, because Dino opens a door that releases a rain cloud that follows him everywhere.
Right, has a black cloud over him.
And I'm like, wow, again, this is just coming off that unaired pilot that I watched.
Right.
Steak, and that was...
Well, here's the unaired pilot. I'm going to play the beginning, about a minute of it.
It's really hard to tell. I really don't know how I could have been picked out of so many people.
Well, You're just a grocery clerk sent by a bunch of... I don't even remember. Can we try it again?
Yeah.
Oh, man, who put this there?
I'm just one of the boys.
No, I'd rather not talk about the other guys.
Well, Larry, he's from Ohio. I think that covers it right there.
I think I've gotten closer to Dino just because I've been around him more, and we're the two from the Midwest that got picked.
Larry's a nice kid, believe it or not.
Jared is...
Jared's a loon.
He loves surf. If he doesn't have surfing, forget it. You know, he gets depressed.
Jared's an interesting guy.
Marty's a weird guy. He's a very talented guy, though.
And he has a normal haircut.
Marty likes to... You know, he just screams.
And the little dog.
I have a dog. I'd be kind of discriminating against my dog if I did that. I love dogs. I can't pretend I'm a dog.
Marty does great barks.
That's a chicken.
So
much better intro to the boys.
Still tough. It's still definitely a tough sell. You know, I am very critical of the things that I enjoy.
I see. I was warming up to them more in this unaired pilot than.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that song. Just one of the boys.
I don't know if that's from them. I'm not really sure.
No, I think it's That's them.
It is. It's not on the album. I don't believe.
It's not on the album, but they do it in full. I think in the Sony pilot.
I don't think I ever watched this, all of it anyway. This is actually on the channel from Dino, DK1966,
oh, really? Yeah. How do you spell that?
DECAY of 1966.
I'm just going to look for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, so... Nonetheless, you know, yeah, it is a very weak pilot. I'm wondering if they sold the show and then created all the shows, because there's no way they got this deal from the pilot. Like, they didn't make a pilot and go, all right, let's go, you know, buy six more or something.
I think they got it from the idea of a new Monkees. And it's funny that unaired pilot includes, like, newscasts, actual newscasts. Like, so there was... I kept trying to remember her name, the lady from WPIX News. You know, she had blonde hair, kind of an older woman, and it had Sue Storm.
Well, I have a clip here from, I think, the woman that you're talking about.
On the west side of Manhattan today.
New Monkees in a new television series. Today, Columbia Pictures Television began a search for four new Monkees.
That was Sue Simmons.
right. That's it.
Thousands waited hours to audition for a spot in the new Monkees television show, a remake of the 60s smash.
Who's next?
People all
hi. Hi.
And it's like, you know, your regular audition process, almost like a carbon copy of what we might see on American Idol.
Right.
There's not that much more to say about this particular episode. I guess... other than, you know, there were 12 more episodes. Apparently, they probably sold 13 episodes.
So you said this was a Saturday morning thing?
I believe it started out Saturday morning, if I recall. Now, probably within 4 or 5 episodes in, at least here in New York, they bailed on it. I'm going to say that it was on Channel 5. Which I don't know whether it was Fox at the time. Do you remember?
I really have no idea.
So, Channel 5, and all of a sudden it vanished, right? Like, without saying anything, I guess the ratings plummeted. And I noticed, you know, we got the TV guide, so I'm like flipping through it on Saturday morning. I'm like, oh wow, there's, you know, it's not on. There's like, you know, something else on. I noticed that it's on at 5:30 in the morning. Like the worst, you know, it's like when all the Spanish cartoons are on, you know.
Ouch.
Well, you know, I don't know if you remember that on Saturday mornings, they would have like in very early, they would have these like Spanish speaking, it would be half Spanish speaking and half English. And I don't really know who it's appealing to exactly. Like, I guess kids who can't speak or they speak both. It's like a bilingual early riser group on Saturday morning. Not really sure. But it was like even before like the Newsy Review, if you remember that.
Ouch, I do remember that.
It's the Newsy Review. You know, so it was like at 5:30 in the morning, the New Monkees. And I set the VCR and I still watched them. But I guess I knew the writing was on the wall at that point. And I don't even think they aired all 13 episodes in New York.
Really? Wow.
No, because there was a number of episodes that I got. I acquired these videos from a source, and I ended up paying quite a bit for the videos that I acquired. And they're watchable, I guess. You know, I ended up boosting and cleaning up the audio and sharpening the video, and I will be posting them on YouTube. So we could put links to that on VHSrewind.com. And that's about it. You know, I'm really glad to have these again. I do have a videotape floating around here somewhere with a few of the episodes, which is all I really had since they originally aired.
What, your actual videotape?
Yeah, it's somewhere around here.
So it's got commercials on it?
Maybe not.
Oh.
Okay. I might have edited them out.
Well, can we play? Can we play a song for the listeners? Because I'm.
Well, you know,
hear the songs again.
I do want to play the song that you said, but I do want to play another one. I'm going to look for a copy of it as this one is playing.
Okay.
So, all right, here we go. Get the idea.
Ouch.
So the other song I wanted to perform. I'm going to grab my guitar. I'm going to play it. Yeah. And I've read this little story. I came across this interview with Marty in 1995, with some television magazine I never heard of, but it was an extensive interview actually. And he was saying how the writing was on the wall. The show was pretty much over. And everyone was pretty much bummed out about that, I'm assuming. You know, I mean, everyone's losing their jobs. So there was a song. He wanted to basically cover, or rather perform, one of their songs called Affection acoustically. And he just wanted to do it like in an empty warehouse. It's pretty simple. And if you want to see what the video looks like, you just type in Affection acoustic. It's also on the Decay 1966 YouTube page. And it's a really stripped down version of their songs. And it also shows, I think it showcases that what a mature player Marty was and is. And I guess maybe what could have been done if we didn't put all the, like, you know, bullshit in front of the music. I mean, cause for all in all, the album is very good in my eyes, even to today's standards. I'll listen to it and I can compare it to a lot of the modern music that was out at the time. The show is a different beast. I enjoyed it for my own personal reasons, but I can understand without a doubt why people may kind of hate it. But here's Affection acoustically, and performed by just Marty Ross with an acoustic guitar, and I think it's pretty damn good. Hey.
This girl I used to live with, she had a bad dream. She couldn't put it into words, so she put it in a scream. She opened up the window, she stood up on the ledge. She waved at all the people, then she jumped back from the edge. She said, I'm not crazy, just a little boy, tired of being lonely, I'm tired of being ignored. Well, I need some affection, and I need it from you. Hasn't anybody ever shown you what a little affection can do? This guy I went to school with, he had a wife and a son, a house in the suburbs, and a loaded shotgun. Well, he drove out on the highway until his motor went dead. He opened up his jacket, and then he put that shotgun to his head. He said, I'm not crazy, I'm just a little boy, I'm tired of being lonely, I'm tired of being ignored. Well, I need some affection, and I need it from you. Hasn't anybody ever shown you what a little affection can do? What a little affection can do, yeah. This person that I read about, I maybe saw him on the TV. They were taking him to prison. You know, it could be you and it could be me. He was trying to get attention, but it is something very bad. Yeah, he was trying to take something everybody should already have. He said, I'm not crazy, I'm just a little bored, I'm tired of being lonely, I'm tired of being ignored. Well, I need some affection,
get the idea. So, yeah, I mean, like, that's definitely a much more mature and stripped-down version of what you might expect when you would watch the Saturday morning show.
Definitely.
Yeah. But, you know, like, that's also taking it to a different, from a different perspective, maybe, wanting to strip it down because it doesn't really need all of the other kind of elaborate additions of, like, synthesized pop drums and, choruses, background singers and stuff like that. And
there's a credible song underneath all of the production that we get on the show.
Well, I also think that there's credible performances.
No, you're right.
This show had no chance of success. This show, falls into a lot of categories of things that we review on our show. I'm trying to think of a number of things that this, that could be similar to this, but I mean, nobody can come out and say, we're the New Monkees, or we are, a good example of this is the New Odd Couple. If you recall the New Odd Couple from the early 80s,
right?
Which ironically we will be reviewing in a couple weeks. There is zero chance of that succeeding.
Especially when they call it new, but recycling old shows.
Right. And it falls into this whole reboot nonsense that's going on right now. I know that there are some people who are really into these reboots that are going on, but I couldn't be more against them. Now, you know what? I saw the preview for the movie, for the new Terminator movie.
Oy.
I will watch it, though. It looks good.
What?
But it's got Schwarzenegger in it.
Oh, my God.
They got the cast back together. You're going to watch that Stallone movie, aren't you? The Rocky one?
Is there a Rocky movie?
Yeah, isn't there one in production?
There's one in production, but I watched the new Rambo.
There's also a Stop or My Mom Will Shoot 2. No, I'm kidding. Maybe it's the Rambo I'm thinking of.
There's a new Mad Max coming out, but interest. I can't get into... They're remaking some of my favorite movies. Like, they did it with The Thing. They did it with just...
I won't touch The Thing.
It's horrible.
Right.
It's so horrible because...
Ghostbusters.
It's... Oh, my God.
My wife usually isn't so vocal about these kind of things. And she said, I think it's when Annie came out. She's like, I'm not going to let my son see Annie. She's like, there's no reason for him to go see Annie. If he wants to go see Annie, we'll go see it on Broadway when they bring it back for their 10th time. And I don't understand why all these reboots are happening. I don't want my kid to go see Ghostbusters with
unfunny lady comedians.
And, it could be the funniest script ever. I just don't see the point of it. What? I don't know. Write a new movie. How about that?
Yeah, really? Really?
I
am with you.
There's a lot of reboots that, and dating back to, 1998 or 96 with Psycho. How are you going to remake Psycho in color? Come on.
Why?
Why?
That is the most egregious. Because it's not a reboot. It's just a redo. It's completely shot for shot.
Let me ask you, do you just have to choose, a movie that people love and rewrite a script and sell it?
Give it 20 years, and then you're able to redo it again.
Now, I know how to write a script, Chris. You have great ideas. Why don't we take Citizen Kane and rewrite it? But instead of a newspaper, he'll own, a website or something. He'll own Facebook.
All right. He'll own Ain't It Cool News.
Right. He'll own Ain't It Cool News. And, and it's going to be about all the spyware and stuff like that you get when you go to Ain't It Cool News. I was thinking of a different website. Maybe it is Ain't It Cool News. I'm not really sure. But I don't understand why people feel the need to, that the old is new again, always. Tell me. No, I'm kidding.
I have no idea.
In the 80s, when this TV show first came out, it was like the 60s was first coming back, I guess. By the time I was in high school, the 60s was a really big deal. But it still seems like the 60s are cool. Like, we're still rebooting things from that far back. yep. and 80s. We're rebooting everything.
Yeah, pretty soon we'll be rebooting things from the 90s. Like, I'm trying to think of something we'll reboot from the 90s. Flatliners.
That'd be the original cast. Is Stephen Baldwin available? Is he in that one? No, it's not Stephen Baldwin. It's the other Baldwin, right?
They blur.
I liked Flatliners.
You did? I did too, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I actually saw it a few times. I thought it was a pretty halfway decent movie.
90s. What's 90s? Scream.
You know, that's what's funny is Scream is technically a remake. H2O.
Right. Oh, ouch.
Yeah, but like, let's not remake like Dances with Wolves. maybe a remake of BMX Bandits from 1983 with Nicole Kidman. But anyway, I'm really glad that I got my hands on the entire collection of the New Monkees. I'm really glad that on Facebook I've met up with a lot of probably the wackiest people that I ever hoped to meet. Actually, Marty Ross is actually on the New Monkees group.
Are you going to get us an interview or what?
We'll see. You know, that's his call. But being that we're both MG owners, he might have no choice. Plus, I have two. No, he actually has a really beautiful, I think a 59 MG, a white one. It's very Porsche looking.
Yeah, I saw that picture. That is
No, he seems like a pretty straight shooter. He seems like a nice guy.
A gazillion dollars off the New Monkees and was able to buy this vintage car?
Yeah, you know. I mean, you don't walk away from the New Monkees without sacks full of cash. No, but all the guys, from what I understand, seem like pretty halfway decent guys. You know, the story is, you know, they're all married. They've all been married once. They have no drug issues. There's no massive divorces or any scandals or anything. And, you know, there's something to be said about four guys who were able to do all of this and not let their entire, I mean, they were probably the most hated people for a very short amount of time, but still they got attacked by everyone. Nobody likes the New Monkees.
No,
nobody's willing to. We posted it in our Facebook group, you know, kind of like, hey, you know, Chris and I will often like take a picture and post it on there. And immediately we got, if you post something like that, I'm going to punch you in the face. Like, what are you kidding me? Like, what are you afraid of? Jeez. Anyway, maybe it's the Super Bowl. Everyone feels like super macho. They have to prove to the world that they're not gay or something like that. But we know the truth. So anyway, Chris, I want to thank you for putting up with things that I enjoy. You were very kind to me because this is easy fodder. This, you could have ripped apart in a very similar way that I ripped apart something you loved. I forget the name of it. That god-awful show, that movie.
You know what this reminded me of, actually? This this TV show and the kind of humor they were going for.
What?
It was like a Night Patrol.
Yeah, Night Patrol, that's the show. I gave you such a hard time for that, and I have to say I'm sorry. I'm going to revisit Night Patrol on my own.
Ouch.
And I think I'm going to find something I like about it. No, but I did like the song. The song was pretty good.
Can we go out on another song from the unaired pilot?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's our outro.
We'll be back next week.
I'm just one of the boys.
Just look in there. Just look in there. You know who's there? That's America.